So we're here on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and we saw the Mishnah, and we saw the Gemara. The Gemara presents a machlokas between Rav Asi and Zairi. We'll go over that machlokas again, because otherwise we won't know what's going on tonight. But the official place that we got up to is right here at the beginning of the wide lines. You see where it says El Rav Asi Tarti Laman. But just to lead up to understand what the Gemara's problem is, the Mishnah is divided into a Reisha and a Seifa, as we saw last week. The Reisha is called Midaberes. The Seifa is called Meuberes. In the Reisha, and you know, Aaron, since you're a Kohen, this is all relevant to you, so to speak. I mean, in theory, but it's all about Kohuna. In the Reisha, what happens is a Jewish girl was seen midaberes with another man, and they asked her, well, can you tell us anything about this man? And she claims that he is a Kohen, which means he's a kosher. Mm-hmm. And therefore, she had a relationship with someone who does not disqualify her from marrying a Kohen. She does not become a Zona. And the Mishnah records a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer on the one hand and Rabbi Yeshua on the other hand. According to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, since we don't know and we cannot identify who the Boel was, therefore we rely on her claim and she's allowed to marry a Kohen. Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo mi pi anu chayim. We don't rely on her word. She has no status to be believed, and therefore we assume that she had be'ilo with someone who passels her to Kohen, and a Kohen cannot marry her. That's the ratio. The safe is Mu'beres, and here she's pregnant. And again, they asked her, well, who's the father of this child? She claims that it's Ploni so-and-so who's a Kohen. Kohen means a kosher. Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar again say we rely on her testimony and she's allowed to marry Kohen. And Rav Yeshua says, Lo mi pi anu chayim. Now, the Gemara wants to know in the Reisha, what does it mean, Ra'uha midaberes? What does that word midaberes mean? And this is a fundamental machlokus between Zairi and Rav Asi. Zairi says midaberes means yichud, that the Eidim testify that she was alone with a man. They can't identify the man, but they know she was alone in a private place with a man. Rav Asi, on the other hand, says nivala, that the Eidim saw that she had bia with this man. Again, they can't identify the man, but she definitely had bi'ila. Now, there are going to be two schools of thought here as to why Rav Yoshua, in the case of Yichud, according to Zairi, would say that she cannot marry Kohen. Because Lechora, if all the Eidim can testify is that she had Yichud with this man, then it's a double suffix. First of all, we don't even know if she had Be'il at all. Mm-hmm. She went into a private place, but we don't know what happened in that private place. Secondly, even in the worst case scenario, if she did have Be'ila, we don't know who the Boel was. Maybe he's a kosher. And that should generate a svek sveka. And why should Rabbi Yeshua say Lo mi pi anu chayim? And she's psul kohen. Why not rely on a svek sveka? And that's where Rav Asi has the upper hand, because Rav Asi says that our case in the Mishnah Midaberes means nivala. So there's no question in anyone's mind that she had beila, which reduces the svek sveka down to one suffek. And although Rav Gamliel is willing to believe her, Rabbi Yeshua is not, and therefore with one suffix we have to go lechumra and the Kohen can't marry her.
Whether it's suffix d'oraisa?
It's a suffix d'oraisa, whether the Boel was a kosher or apostle. Now, on the one hand, you know, we're excited about Rav Asi's approach, that Ra'ua Medaberes in the Reisha is talking about a case where the Eidim testified that she had Be'ila. We have a little bit of a technical problem, because why would the Mishnah use the word midaberes, which means to speak, as a reference to Be'ilah? But the Gemara already solves that problem with Tanakh, whatever it is. But we have a more fundamental problem, and that leads us to tonight's discussion. What's the difference now between the Reisha and the Seifa? Because if in the Reisha the Eidim testified, according to Rav Asi, that she had Be'ila, so why did the Sefer repeat what we have in the Reisha? The Sefer says, Ra'ua Me'uberes, that she's pregnant. And presumably the only difference between Medaberes and Me'uberes is on this level of Suffolk with regard to Be'ila. Did she have a Be'ila, did she not? So it works out very beautifully here according to Ze'iri, because Ze'iri says Medaberes means Yichud, and the Eidim did not testify, did not see a Maisa Be'ila, and therefore Me'uberes in the Sefer is coming to tell us a whole new story when we know that she had Be'ila. Whereas according to Rav Asi, who interprets Medaberes as Nivala, then what is the difference between the Reish and the Sefer? It's literally a repeat performance. What you have is a case of Vadai Nivala, both in the Reish and in the Sefer, because Medaberes means Nivala. Suffolk Nivala Lakasha, Suffolk Nivala Apostle, so you only have one Suffolk. So that's the Gemara's question. El Rav Asi Tarti Lomali. Why does the Mishnah need these two cases? And the Gemara's answer is Chada Lahakshir Ba Vechada Lahakshir Bibita. It means we need the Reisha to teach us that we can be Machshir the Isha herself. Okay.
To be able to marry Cohen?
To be able to marry Cohen. That's according to Rav Gamliel. But now we need the Sefer. The Sefer is coming to the Chadish that not only can she marry a Kohen, even her daughter could be married, could marry a Kohen. Now, what would be the Havamita to differentiate between the mother and the daughter? Why would we say that Rav Gamliel, if we only had the Reisha, permits her, the mother, to have a marriage with a Kohen? But in the case of the daughter, Rav Gamliel would admit that she's Asur LeKohen. So to answer that question, we have to introduce a concept called chazaka. And chazaka means that until we know otherwise, the status quo always continues to be the halachic reality. The halacha relies on the presumption that whatever we know to be the case remains the case until we can prove otherwise, like innocent until proven guilty. And that chazaka is applicable to the mother, but not to the daughter. The mother, since her day of birth, was assumed to be Ksheira LeKahuna. Now she had this Maisa in which she had a relationship with a man. You want to take her out of her Chazaka. So the Halacha says, unless you know proof positive, without any doubt, that she had a relationship with Apostle, we can assume through her Cheskas Kashas that she's Ksheira. And that's why Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah believes her, because her claim that the Boel was a Kohen is supported by Hocheskas Kashrus. But now we get to the Bas. Here, the concept of Chazaka doesn't apply, because from the very moment she's born into this world, we don't know if she's a Ksheira or not. So she never had, you know, a flag to wave of, I have a Chazaka.
Doesn't piggyback on her mom's?
So that's going to be a tremendous Machlokes, but you're right. That's why the Mishnah added Mu'beres, to tell us that she, the daughter, could piggyback on her mom, which is called in Lashon HaShas, we'll see it later, Chezkas Ha'em Mahani Labas. No, just a cup if you have. Oh, this is mine. Yeah.
Isn't there another way of looking at it? It's not a chazaka, it's just, it's a status that's already been established. That's not chazaka. In other words, a woman that's converted to Judaism, we don't say the child is Jewish because of a chazaka, we're saying the child is Jewish because the mother is a Jew. Once established, in this case, that the mother is a kasher, so that's not based on chazaka, that's based on you're born to a woman who is kasher.
I hear your question. I think we'll be ready to answer that question when we go through the sugya. But the Gemara assumes Cheskas Ha'ei Mahani Labas. That's the Gemara's
mind. Judaism has a change of status. So this woman also has a change of status. and why,
or doesn't have a shittishness. But willing, what I mean to say,
but we're willing to say, okay. Right. The question is how you look at it.
Right.
One way of looking at it is, okay, there was a question here. Better status is this,
right?
And why doesn't that just
continue to the boss?
That's not, again, that's not based on chazaka. That's based on a child of a kasher,
right? But the only thing is, again, what you have to keep in mind, Aaron, is, and again, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, that the status of the mother is really a suffix. Now, when we get to a suffix, because we don't know if the mother had pe'ila with a kosher or apostle, there are certain rules and regulations that govern a suffix. And they tell me how to be machriya la'aloch l'maisa, eich litnaheg b'makom suffix. That's called nihu. And we have various principles, like, for example, Eidim, and we have Chazaka, and we have Rov, and we have Karov, and so forth and so on. But at the end of the day, even after we rely on these various principles, or active Hachros, but we still are left with a Suffolk. Now that Suffolk transfers over to the Bas. So it's not enough to say, well, the mother has a certain status, and therefore the daughter inherits that status. It's not so, because the status of the mother is safek, just that the halach of hakros has safek based on chazakas. Now we have to superimpose or graft that same status, that identical status, onto the bas, and once again we have a safek. But in the case of the bas, as opposed to the aim, we don't have a chazaka. So how can we be machriya the suffix of the bas when we're absent chazaka? In the case of the mother, the Torah says rely on chazaka in the case of suffix. We don't know for sure that she, if let's say a kohen would say to me, Rabbi, you know what, I have hesitations, I'm inhibited about this marriage, I don't want to marry this girl, maybe she had a relationship with a nosin or a mamzer or a guy, I don't know. So I would tell him, don't be frumer than the Pope. You know, after all, the halacha says you can rely on chazaka. He says, you know what? I don't want to rely on chazaka. I wouldn't fault him for that.
You wouldn't?
I would not fault him for that. Because again, the suffix remains a suffix. The Torah says you can be machriya the suffix. He doesn't want to be machriya suffix. It's like a case where you have a rove, and he doesn't want to rely on rove. He's within his rights not to rely on a rove. If the Torah removes the suffix completely, for example, he doesn't want to rely on two witnesses, and Bezdin gave him a psak. Let's say a woman was married, and two Adam testified that her husband died, and she doesn't want to get remarried. That's mishigas.
Well, that's not suffix.
Because the Torah relies on two Adam, and that's not a suffix. So if she wants to be matil dofi and suffix on two Adam, I would throw her out of Bezdin for that. But in the case of chazaka, chazaka is really not any sort of logical birur to clarify the issue. I mean, just because she was tahora before and she was allowed to marry a kohen, but now she had be'ila with another man. Who is this man? So in such a case, we're left with a suffix. Again, she could rely on chazaka, but it's only achras ha-suffix.
And in the case of the Uber, we're trying to clarify if it's a mamzer or not. Like, what are we...
We're trying to clarify who... Who's the father of this Ubar, right? We don't know who the father is. Let's assume, for argument's sake, it's a 50% chance that the father was a guy, 50% chance that the father is a Jew. So now, can she marry a Kohen or not? I mean, if her father was a guy, Uber, she can't marry this Uber when she grows up, you know, down the line. She becomes a nice young lady at the age of 19 or 20, you know, and she graduates Beis Yaakov, and she wants to marry Joe Cohen. But the problem is, we don't know who her father is. We'll never be able to clarify who her father. There are no witnesses to that effect. We have witnesses that she had. Well, forget about the witnesses. She's pregnant. We don't believe in immaculate conception, like we said last week. So we know that she had Be'ilah the mother. Now, who can tell you proof positive that she's Ksheira Lakuna, the daughter? So Bishleim for the mother, the Torah says, in the case of Suffolk, your fallback position is to rely on Chazaka. In the case of the Bas, she never had a Chazaka. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Mishnah needed to tell us that even in the case of Muberes, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Lezer are going to rely on her testimony, the mother's testimony, to be Maksha the Bas to Kuhuna. And now Joe Cohen can marry this girl when she becomes of age.
How come?
But we're going to see later on that that's not such a poshut zach, you know, to assume that even the daughter has a chazaka, or that the nemanis of the mother. You see, here's where we have to add another point over here. And that's, I think, the key to unlock this mystery, which again, I keep trying to push Aaron off here because I hate to discuss something that's going to be a sugya when we didn't even get to the sugya yet. But since you already dragged me into this this mitzvahs, I would tell you the following. Maybe Yonatan, I could trouble you just to close the door because
no,
I get...
For a reason.
No, I just didn't have the energy to get up and close the door. I was very lazy about it. I didn't want to break up the shiur. So what I'm saying is the following: that yesh lachkar, yesh listapik. I have two ways of understanding the point of view of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yoshua. One way is to say that they build the entire story here on chazakah. The other way is to say no. They build their case on her claim. They're actually supplying or providing nemanus to her claim.
It's like
an Eidach and Bisurin kind of halach, or whatever it might be. Maybe we'll see concepts like migu in certain cases, but whatever it is, Bari Vishema, I don't know if you're familiar with these concepts. There's some pressing reason why Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Lazar and Mishnah believe her. But the key of keys is to underline is that she has credibility. The chazakah is secondary. Again, without the chazakah, it could very well be that she would not have credibility. The chazakah certainly supports her claim. But at the end of the day, the reason why we're going to establish her kashrus lakuna is based not on chazakah, but based on her nemanos. And here's where Rabbi Goldschart is 100% correct. That once you believe her, then automatically the daughter becomes Ksheira Lekuhuna. So I would suggest the following. The reason why the Mishnah needed the Seifa, that Muberes is also Muteres, the Bas is also Muteres Lekuhuna, is because lest you raise the following Havamina. The only reason why Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Gamliel are Makshir, the mother to Kuhuna, is because of Chazakah. And you can't be machri the suffix of chazaka vis-a-vis the bas. She doesn't have that luxury of chazaka. Called mashmal name. That Ram Gamliel, it's not the pshat Ram Gamliel is relying on chazaka. Chazaka alone would not be sufficient. Because chazaka still leaves us in a doubt, in a suffix situation. The reason why we're machshir the mother to kuhuna is because of her nemanus. If it's her nemanus, and we absolutely believe that she identifies the Boel, and therefore we rely on her credibility, then the Mela Manda Machshir Ba Machshir Bebita, and that's the Chiddush of the Sefer. Now I just want to add here a comment of Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Chada. You see this Tosfos Chada, and Tosfos points out that there's a Reisha in our Mishnah and a Sefer in our Mishnah. The Reisha is necessary for Rabbi Yoshua, we'll explain. And the Sefer is necessary for Rabbi Gamliel. The Reisha is coming to tell us that even vis-a-vis the mother herself who has a Chezkas Kashrus, Rabbi Yoshua claims that we still remove her Chezkas Kashrus based on the Suffolk, and a Kohen's not allowed to marry. The Sefer of Muberes is coming to teach me how far Ram Gamliel is willing to go. He's willing to say that not only is the mother Muteres, but even the Bas is Muteres. If you say, look at Tosis, Trichi Chavayu, Chada, meaning the Sefer, Lo Diach HaKocho, the Ram Gamliel, the Chada, meaning the Reisha, Lo Diach HaKocho, the Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says the following: Ha nicha, this justification of the Sefer works out. Leman di Omar, the one who claims, and again, this is going to be the sugya on Yud Gimel and Beis that we're about to get to. That l'divrei Machshir, according to Rabbi Gamliel, who says ba is Machshir Bebita, Rabbi Gamliel went as far as to say that not only is the mother Ksheira Lakuna, but even the Bas is Ksheira Lakuna Lamrot, even though, despite the fact that she has no Chazaka. That even Rabbi Gamliel, who is willing to qualify the mother, establish her qualifications and her kashrus for kahuna, that's only as far as the mother is concerned, but as far as the bas is concerned, in the absence of chazaka, Rabbi Gamliel is going to agree to Rabbi Yeshua, and the bas is not allowed to marry a kohen. He's Michael and Neymar. We're back to square one. We don't understand how to justify the seifa of Muberes, which is, according to Rav Asi, a repeat performance of Midaberes, and the Reish and the Sefer are basically identical. So the Gemara answers, we have no choice over here. Rav Asi, Sover Kaman Diyomel, Lidivri HaMachshav, Bo HaMachshav Bevita. By pure mathematical calculations, we must conclude, we must commit Rav Asi to maintain that Rav Gamliel went a step further, and he was not only Machshav the Mam, right, the aim, he was also Machshav the Bas. And there's no way, no how, that you can reconcile Rav Asi of Ra'ua Midaberes, meaning Nivala, with a Shita that says Man de Machshav Ba is Posil Bevita. Those two are mutually exclusive. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye. What about Zairi? Let's go back to Zairi. Zairi, Diyama Mai Midaberes, how does he interpret the Reisha Nistara, which means Nisyakta, she had Yichud. The Omar of Yoshua de lo mehemna, which again, as I indicated, Zairi's position is so extreme that it's almost impossible to wrap your brain around Zairi, because he's claiming that even though there's a double suffix over here, we don't even know if she had Be'ilah. And even in the worst case, if she had Be'ilu, we don't know whom she had Be'ilu with, and maybe she had Be'ilu with him, and he's a Kohen. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua says, despite the Svekspeka, she's Psula LeKahuna. That position of Zairi is in and of itself very difficult. But the Gemara is going to raise the following objection, that according to Zairi, Nistara, the Amar Rabbi Yeshua Delo Mehemna, Ha'amar Rav, what about the statement of Rav? Now keep in mind, Rav has a great deal of authority and weight. And he says, Malkin al ha-yichud, the Ein Osrin al ha-yichud. Which means that if a married woman has a yichud relationship with another man, then, again, back in the day, we would give her the status of a sota, but now we don't have that possibility. So what do? We give her a punishment. And we give her malchus. And that's a tremendous chiddush over here, because what are people going to think? What is the spectator? What conclusion might he perhaps draw if he sees that this woman was taken out for malchus because she had yichud with a man? What are they going to think?
That they had beer.
Which means that if there was a child, if this woman gives birth to a child, what are they going to be saying about this child? If she had beer with another man?
You don't know.
The child is a mamzer, correct? Right? A married woman who has relations with another man, according to everybody, there's no one who doubts this, the child is a mamzer. So that's a big chiddush of Rav, which we have to take under advisement and figure out how Rav could punish a woman so harshly, a married woman who has yichud with another man, when it's going to create laws, which means that people are going to spread rumors that the child is a mamzer. You know, the whole halacha is built on avoiding laws. You know, every week the halacha goes to all extremes to avoid a situation where someone's reputation might be tainted and he's placed into this category of a mamzer. So again, that requires a great deal of analysis. But what's important for us now is that Rav says, Ein Osrin ala Yichud, which means that we're going to give a malchus for misbehavior. Right? It was not appropriate for her to go into a private place and lock the door with another man. But we don't assume that she had beer with that man. Rav never assumed that she had beer with that man. There's a great, great gap between yichud and beer. Yichud is not appropriate, and you deserve patch for that. Rav, you know, Rav says you get malchus for that. That's a very bad thing to do. But Rav is not going to go as far as to say that we have to assume analogically that she had beer with this man, and therefore ain osran ala yichud. She's allowed to go back to her husband. Had Rav granted the premise that she had beer with another man, then she's not allowed to resume a relationship with her husband. No way, no how. That's called tumah. Now this contradicts the Iri, because the Iri closes the gap between yichud and beer, meaning the premise in a case of yichud, according to the Iri, at least according to Rabbi Yeshua, is that she had beer. Otherwise, Rabbi Yeshua makes no sense. Why does Rabbi Yeshua make no sense if I don't bridge that gap between yichud and beer? Is anybody following me here, or am I just talking to the wall here? I got four brilliant guys in the room. Can somebody answer my question? Why do we have to assume, according to Zairi, that Rabbi Yeshua bridges the gap between yichud and beer? And if this woman has yichud, we must assume that she had beer. Where do I see that in Rabbi Yeshua? Nobody. Well, okay.
Because he makes it
because he doesn't. Because otherwise it's a svek sveka. Because we don't know if she had beer, and we don't know whom she had beer with. Is that right? Whom or who? I think it's whom, right? She had beer with him, right? Whom? He's talking about Yeshua.
Can't ask her if she's sveka.
Yeah, and how do we reduce one of those two svekas?
Say that it had to be beer.
Correct, that yichud equals beer. Now we're talking. That's against Rav. Because Rav says, Ein osrin al hayichud. Meaning, what's the status of yichud?
Malchus,
but not a suffix beer. You know, we're not going to assume that she had beer. Says the Gemara, Afilu tamer Rabbi Yeshua. You know what? You're misunderstanding Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua agrees that yichud is yichud and beer is beer, and there's no way of bridging that gap. What are you going to do with sex vaker? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua is on a whole different dimension, a whole different plane. What's it called? Maila osu biyuchse. This is the principle that Daniel was sitting here last week. Now he's in Chutzlar, so that's why he's not here. Brian is at a wedding. Evan took on a whole new project. Okay, so we're hurting. I need you four guys here desperately.
We got Aaron.
And we got Aaron and Yonatan, but I don't know, you know, like, all right. I won't finish my sentence. What do you say? So that...
we're more machmers.
So that, right. There's something called Maila Osu B'yuchsin. Now, Rabosai, how this Maila Osu B'yuchsin works, I don't know. I could just translate the words for you at this point. They gave a special status for kahuna, that kohanim have to be super duper, and they have to distance themselves from any possible way, and any possible suffix. If a kohen marries a woman, he's got to check her out. Inside out, upside down. Today we have the Rabbanut. They take this pretty seriously. We got to know that this woman is Tahora and Kshera, and she's pious, and she never had any hanky-panky, and therefore there's no Kshash of Zona, and the Kohen's allowed to marry her. In the absence of that kind of thing, if there's a little bit of smoke, we're afraid of fire. And here, says Rabbi Yeshua, there's a little bit of smoke. Why did this woman have yichud? But it goes even beyond that. Rabbi Yeshua says that, you know what? She herself admits that she had beer. We don't have to bridge the gap between yichud and beer. True, the Edom only testify they saw yichud. But who's going to fill in the gap for us? She herself. Because if you read the Mishnah carefully, they turned to her and they said, Mativo shel ish zeh. Which means, what's the nature of this guy that you had beer with? She didn't yell and scream, I didn't have beer with him, chas v'sholom, that jlob, I fell into yichud because they locked the door on me, I don't know what, but I didn't have beer with him. That's not what she said. She said, you know what? There he is. Check him out. he's a kohen, he's a kosher. She herself was modeh b'hodas b'al din that she had bia. Now, how many sfeikas are we left with?
One.
Only one. That's the sheet of Z. Why do Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar disagree? Why do they reject that outright? Because she has a migu. She could have said lo nivalti. The Edom, after all is said and done, can only testify on Yichud. No way, no how, that Rabbi Yeshua is going to say, lo mi pi anu chayim. We have no reason to believe her. She's no gabes. She has vested interest. See, I'm not going to trust her. We have to trust her because the halacha of migu kicks in. Migu means that since the Edom only saw Yichud, she can deny that she had bia. And there's no reason why she admitted it. If she admitted it, she must be telling the truth, and she could identify the boil as a kosher. So why then, according to Zeiri, why then does Rabbi Yeshua yell and scream, "Lo mi pi anu chayim"? We don't trust her. We don't believe her. She has no credibility. What about migu? She has a migu, and that's where Zeiri gets us into real difficulties. Maila also be yosef. Says the Iri, you know why Rabbi Yoshua in this case will not rely on her word, even though she is supported by a great, powerful, credibility principle, namely the principle of migu, is because Maila also be yosef. And so it works like this. Enochinami, if she would have gone ahead and denied that she had bia, then we have sfek. We don't know if she had bia and whom she had bia. Double suffering. Even Zeiri would say there's no reason to get all hyped up here for the Kohen's sake and be careful about this. But now that she went ahead and put her foot in her mouth and she confessed the crime of bia, you know what? With all due respect, she may have all the migus in the world, but at the end of the day, we're left with one single suffering. And that suffix is who was the boil? Kohanim, stay away. Don't marry a woman, says Rabbi Yeshua, who had bia with a man when we can't be sure who that man is. She has credibility. I'm not going to rely on credibility. So again, when we're in the objective world of sfeikus and we can calculate two sfeikus, like in the case where she denied that she had bia, we have a sfeik, and then Rabbi Yeshua says there's no reason to get all hyped up here with my loss of Yosef. We have an objective halacha of sfeik, and we're going to rely on sfeik. But when you get into one suffix, a single mother and a single suffix, then you have an issue of nemanus. You know what? Nemanus is a funny kind of thing. I'll give you many different reasons why she admitted that she had bia with this man. There are many different possible explanations. Kohanim, stay away. This girl is not so kosher v'yosha. She's a single girl at a relationship. Let's avoid it. So now Rabosai, we can begin to understand the machlokas between Zeiri and Rav Asi. Rav Asi is unwilling to say that in the case of Yichud, Rabbi Yeshua would still go as far as to say she's Asura Lekohanim, because in the case of Yichud, pardon me, but we have a Sfek Sfeker. And even though you'll argue, well, we removed one of those two Sfekers with her own confession, which she said in Nivalti, it doesn't matter, she has a Migu. And Rav Asi puts so much credibility, so much weight on the principle of Migu, that he's unwilling to admit the possibility that Rabbi Yeshua denied her credibility of Migu. And therefore he says it must be that the Edom saw Bia. We don't have to rely on Har Hodah, which leads us to one suffix. That's where Rabbi Yeshua says, in one suffix, let's not rely on her credibility, let's not rely on Chazakas, let the Kohanim stay away. That I can understand. But, says Rav Asi, I cannot accept the possibility that if the Edom only saw Yichud, and we know about Bia through her confession, that Rabbi Yeshua would say she's not believed. For sure she's believed. She has a migu. Comes along Zeiri and he says, nay. You know what? I'm not willing to say that in the case of Medaberes, we're talking about Nivala. I insist that Medaberes means Yichud, and that's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Not only is the Iri very loyal to simple pshat, you know, Ein Mishnah Yotzei Midei Pshuto, but he's also loyal to the understanding of Maila Asu B'Yochsen. And Rabbi Yeshua is going to prove this, as we'll soon see. I'm just letting the cat out of the bag, from the case of a Shvuya. Does anybody here know what a Shvuya is?
Catholic prisoner.
Exactly. What do we assume happened when this woman, this Jewish woman, ever was taken prisoner by the Goyim? What do we assume happened over there?
Rape.
Yeah. And she had beer. And therefore, a Shvuya cannot marry a Kohen. Now, wait a second. We didn't see that she had beer. All we know is that she was taken into a place which certainly was private. Says Ze'iri, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua, you are my turf now. I've got you caught. You, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Gamliel, you can't deny that Shvuya is prohibited to a Kohen, which means that even though we didn't see Bia,
so it happened.
We're going to ask her to Kohen. He has proof positive. Says Ze'iri, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that even if the only testimony we have is on Yichud, that's enough to say Kohanim stay away.
Is that even Shvuya, even if she denies? In other words, even if she claims it didn't happen?
Or? Right, and even if she claims it didn't happen, we're not going to trust her.
The
Shvuya is Asura L'Kohanim, period.
Less
man to pull it.
It's a pasuk? What is it?
Ah, that's a good question. The Gemara doesn't quote any psukim here. So as far as I know, it's not based on psukim, it's just hilchas fakus. And that's what the Gemara is going to flesh out here about whether Shvuya is the same suffix as this case of Ra'ua Medaberes. Okay. So the Gemara now is going to quote a Braisa. And this Braisa is going to indicate that it's really Ze'iri's pshat in that Mishnah that's the correct pshat. Because the Braisa is going to record a very lively debate between Rabbi Yeshua on the one hand and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Gamliel on the other. The Braisa adds a whole new dialogue here that we don't have in that Mishnah. And from this dialogue, we're going to have to conclude that the debate was regarding a case of Yichud and not a case where the Edom saw Bia.
Do we take it, I know we're talking sort of at a lumdus level, but do we take Metzias into account? In other words, Shavuya is based, we say, because somebody is taken captive, that they're raped. How about if you have upstanding Jewish citizens that we could say usually one does not have Bia? In other words, from Jews that have Yichud with one another for...
Right, so all that is going to come up now in the debate between Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, you see that even though all we know about is Yichud, we assume Bia, and Rabbi Gamliel is going to counter, but that's a case of a Shvuya where she's taken captive by Goyim,
right.
And Goyim, you know, want to have Bia, they can't hold themselves back from having Bia with this captive woman ever. And all that is going to be part of the put up your dukes here. But we're not ready for that yet, because first we have to see this Braisa that records the give and take between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Meisve, this is going to be a kasha on Rav Asi. Because again, according to Rav Asi, Rabbi Yeshua admits that if it was only a case of Yichud, then she would be believed. Even Rabbi Yeshua would accept that she would be believed because of the Migu concept, to say that the Boel was a kosher. And we're going to see from this Braisa that that's not so. The Braisa tells us about an unmarried woman, Ra'ua, and the Edom saw her. She nichnasayim echad l'seiser. She went into a private place with a man. Now, what was this private place?
This is kind of getting to the Metzias issue of...
What was the private place?
Do we assume that there's Bia depending on the kind of...
Isn't that the definition of Yichud in the first place?
Say it again one more time.
Isn't that just the definition of Yichud?
Yichud is a private place, but Seter means a private place which may be conducive to having a relationship, may not be conducive to having a relationship.
Here is now an issue. In other words, what kind of place are we talking about? What kind of people are we talking about?
Right, right. But again, the point that we're making here is that Rabbi Yeshua is not going to believe her, and he's going to disqualify for Kuna, even though it's a case of Seter. Seter means Yichud. And how could Rav Asi therefore say that no, Rabbi Yeshua in the case of Yichud would admit that she's believed, when the whole debate here that's recorded by the Brises is in a case of Seter? Okay. Now we turn to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And the Brisa continues and gives us another description of Yichud. Not the Seter description of Yichud, but rather L'churva. Now, let's spend a minute talking about a churva.
Seter is more secretive?
No. Less it works the opposite. Churva is, I don't want to say it out loud, you know, especially this recorder is going here, but, you know, a churva is a place where they used to go for, I don't want to say the word znus, but you know what I mean, right? You figured it out. That's what a churva was for. People went into a churva because that's where they could... Today, if a person would go into something called a churva, it would probably be a brothel or something like that, you know? And the Gemara is going to eventually spend a lot of time analyzing why the Brice had to tell me both Seter and churva. Because obviously in the case of churva, there's a lot more circumstantial, heavy circumstantial evidence to assume that bia took place. So in the case of Seter, that chiddush is that Rabbi Yeshua is going to say, well, we assume she had bia, even though it's only Seter. You know, the circumstantial evidence is very low key. But in the case of churva, that's going to be a chiddush of Rabbi Gamliel, that we believe her, even though she went into a churva with this guy. My gosh, how far can you go to justify this? Amrullah, mativo shalish zeh. Once again, Kohen who? And then it says, Uben achi abba, who's even my cousin. Again, we're going to have a whole discussion here of why the Brisa mentioned that she's my cousin, that he's my cousin. But be that as it may, we're talking about a case of a woman who claims that the person that she had this relationship with is kashul akoin. Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar, Omer Ibn Menes. Rav Yeshua Omer, Lomi Pia Anu Chayim. We don't rely on our claim. Ella, Harezu Becheskas Bu'ul, Lenosin Lamam, so she's Psul Lakuna. Ashitavi Raya Lidvarel, until Adam will testify that this man was a kosher. Says the Gemara, Bishlaim is the Iri. This Brisa works out beautifully according to Zairi, who says that Rabbi Yeshua went as far as to say that even though the Adam only saw what? They only saw Yichud. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yeshua says that she's Asura, she's Psula Lakuna. The Hainu Diktani Tarte. Now, we understand, we can justify why the Brisa gave two scenarios, two descriptions. One is Seser, and one is Churva. L'Seser l'Churva. In other words, the Brisa wants to give two different permutations of Yichud. Each one is telling me a big Chidush. The case of Seser is telling me a Chidush that Rabbi Yeshua went as far as to assume that she had Bia, and therefore possible Lakuna, even though it was only a Seser place. And then Churva is telling us that Rabbi Gamliel went as far as to say that we believe her when she says that she's Ksher Lakuna, even though she went into a Churva. That makes all sense. El Rav Asi, but according to Rav Asi, the Omer, what do the Adam testify? And when does Rabbi Yeshua say that she's Psul Lakuna? Only Nivalov, if we have proof positive through two Adam that she had Be'ila, is Tarti Lovely. This whole discussion about Seser and about Churva in this Brisa is completely out of place. Because in all situations, whether it's Seser or Churva, the Edom actually, according to Rav Asi, saw and testify on Bia. So what difference does she had Bia in a regular classical Seter, you know, a private house or whatever, or she had Bia in a Churva? At the end of the day, the Edom testify that she had Bia. So the Gemara answers, Chaduk Tani, you have to rewrite the script. What does it say in the Brisa? Not the way we have it, L'Seser O L'Churva, but L'Seser D'Churva. Seser is describing not the place, but the ambiance of the place, meaning that there was no one else around, and what was the place itself, it was a churva. The Gemara is not happy with that. The word O indicates that we're not describing the Seser as a churva or the churva as Seser, but rather these are two different scenarios. One is Seser, one is churva. And there's no justification then for the Brisa telling us two cases, because in any event, according to Rav Asi, the Eidim testified that she had Be'ila. So the Gemara answers, you're right. Seser and churva are two different places. But chada lechurva de masa, vechada lechurva de davra. There are two types of churvas. There's a churva, which means some sort of dilapidated house, but it's inside the masa. What's masa? The city. It's in the city limits. And, you know, a person would be, what do you say?
Less so that
would... Right, he's embarrassed to go into a churva in a public area for that. You'll be seen. But chada, the other case, is churva de davra, that's outside the city limits, and that's where people would have no inhibitions to go there for the sake of beer. Utsrichi, and now we can justify, even according to Rav Asi, why we need these two cases. If the Brice had only described the case of a city churva, in city, or we'll call it an urban churva, is here's where Rav Gamliel is willing to say that if she had bia, she probably had bia with one of the members of the city. And Rav Ksheir Metzler, this happens to be a Jewish city, not a non-Jewish city. So she went into a private place with a Jew and not with a guy, because we can rely on Rov. If it's outside the city limits, then she could have had a relationship with any man from the whole Welt, from the whole world. The Rov Sulemetzlan, and the world is made up mostly of Goyim, of Ovdei Kochavim, who would passela with their Bia to Kahuna. Is Amai might think, Modelei l'Rav Yoshua. Here we have a case of Rav Psulim. Is Kamash Malon, the Brisa wants to tell me a Gevaldik Chiddush, that even in the case where Rav Psulim Etzla, nevertheless we assume that she had beer with a kosher, which means one of the members of the Miud group rather than the Rav group. The Iyash Me'ina Bahi, so let the Brisa teach me the Chiddush of Churva, meaning outside the city limits, where Rav Apsulim, Rov Agoyim. And if I understand that, nevertheless, Rav Gamliel, against the Rov, believes her, then how much more so would he believe her in the case of Churva Dimasa, where it was in the city? So the Gemara says, no, I need that Chiddush too. Bahid ka Omar Rabbi Yoshua, I would have thought that when does Rabbi Yoshua say that we don't trust her and we have to disqualify her for kuna? That's only in the case of a churva de davra outside the city limits, where there's rov psulim etzla abul baha. But in the case of a churva within the city, Ema, since she's supported by rov ksheirim etzla, perhaps modeh, here Rabbi Yeshua admits L'Rav Gamliel that she has credibility and rely on her testimony because she's being supported by a rov. Tzricha, and therefore the Brice had to tell me both the case of Churva de Masa in order to teach me a Chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua, how far he went to disqualify her, and the case of Churva de Davra to teach me how far Rabbi Gamliel was willing to stretch it. And we believe her, and she's allowed to marry Cohen despite the rov outside the city is rov Psulim Etzla. And here, Rav Osa, we get to the Iker Sugya of Shvuya. Meisve, the Gemara now has an additional objection to Rav Asi, that Medaberis means Nivala. We're going to prove from this Brisa clearly that Rabbi Yeshua is going to make an analogy between Shvuya, where we didn't see the Bia, and yet she's psua, to the case of Midaberes, meaning that Midaberes is also only what? Yichud, and not the way Rav Asi says it, that the Eidim testify in Bia. And this Brisa is a Tosefta at the beginning of Masechta Ksubis about a pregnant woman, and she's unwed, and we ask her, what is the nature of this ubar? And she says, he came from, or it came from, this man, who's a Kohen, and Rav Gamliel, Rav Elazar, of course, trust her. Zo edusha isha ksherala. Rav Elazar and Rav Gamliel say that this is a testimony that we can totally rely on a woman, even though she's only one person, and relying on her allows us to be machriya the suffix. Rav Yeshua Mer Einan Emes. We can't trust her. Amar lehem Rav Yeshua. Rav Yeshua turns to Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar, and he says to them, "Iatem modi b'shvuya shenishbeis." Don't you admit that in the case of a woman, a Jewish woman who was taken captive amongst the goyim, v'yeshla edim shenishbeis, we have two witnesses that testify that she was taken shvuya, and therefore she has no migu to say that she wasn't taken shvuya, because there are edim that would contradict her. The hiyo meris tahorani, and she says that even though I can't deny that she was taken, that I was taken as a captive, there are edim to testify to that effect. Nevertheless, I didn't have beer there. Nobody raped me. It's enon emenes. She's not believed, and she's psula lekuhuna. And this is a Mishnah later on in Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah records that a shvuya cannot marry a Kohen cannot marry a shvuya, and nobody denies that halach. It's explicit in the Mishnah. Now, we're going to have a Tosfos, Aaron, to answer your question before, if you want to make a note of it, on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So you'll have to stick with me for a good couple of months till we get Daf Lamed Vav. And there, Tosfos insists that Shvuya is only a psul derabanan, and there is no pasuk, and no basis in the Torah for a psul of Shvuya. However, the reason why the Rabbanan say that she is psula l'kohen, because they're not going to rely on the assumption that she has a cheskas heter, because the akum, the goyim aprutzim barayas, they certainly want to have a relationship with this woman that was taken captive, and therefore the Rabbanan are not going to rely on chazakas over here. So that if from Gamliel and Rebbe Lezer admit that in the case of Shvuya, she's psula l'kohen, they should admit therefore in the case of Ra'ua Medaberes that she's psula l'kohen. And Omru Lo, at this point, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Gamliel sharpen their knives and they turn back to Rabbi Yeshua and they say, Aval is another word for emes, it's true that a shvuya cannot marry a kohen, but ma hefresh yesh bein zu lezu, there's a gap, a wide difference between, a world of a difference between the case of shvuya and the case of Ra'ua Medaberes. Lezu yesh edim, in the case of a shvuya, there are edim that testify that she had bia. What does that mean? But Lazu, in our case, Ela Edim, there are only Edim that said she had Yichud. This is going to be proof positive to Zairi against Ravasi. Amalehem, Rav Yeshua says, Af Lazu Yesh Edim. If you're going to tell me that in the case of Shvuya there are Edim, then I'm going to tell you in the case of Ruah Medaberes there are Edim. Why? Sharei Kresa Ben Shi. Now, meaning you're going to have to admit that in the Seifa, at least, in the case of Muberes, we know that she had Bia because Kresa ben she, now she's pregnant. So Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar respond, Rov akum prutzim barayas. Omru lo, they said to him, to Rav Yeshua, don't be approved from the case of Shvuya. The reason why Shvuya is psul yedus is because what? Psul, excuse me, lekuhuna, is because what?
Gentiles will rape the woman.
Correct.
Which is not true of Jews.
Not true of Jews. Omru lo, says Rav Yeshua, to the same extent that in the case of a shvuya, you assume that she had bia, and Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar don't deny that, I'm going to tell you that you should admit that even in the case of yichud, where two edim testify that she went into a private place with a man, that's tantamount to testifying that she had bia. Why? Because ein apotropos la rayos. Which literally means that no one could overcome the temptation to have bia when he's in an intimate, private place with a woman. And even though the Edom didn't see that she had bia, but nevertheless we have to assume she had bia. And now what we're seeing is that clearly in this brisa, Rabbi Yeshua is bridging the gap between Yichud and Bia. Namely, he's assuming that if she had Yichud, then she had Bia. I mean, in that case, we're going to have to deal with the following question. Remember, Rav says, Ein Osrin ala Yichud. How do you square that with Rav Yeshua? The Baisa continues, Bamed v'amamurim, where is this machlokes between Rav Yeshua and Rav Gamliel? That's only be'evus isha begufa. That's only as far as the testimony of this woman. Vis-a-vis herself, begufa means herself. She's claiming l'koshen ifaldi. And Rabbi Gamliel insists that she's believed. Avol edus isha bebita. If she testifies vis-a-vis the bas, that the bas is allowed to marry the kohen, l'divrei akol avlad shtuki, the vlad cannot marry a kohen. Which means man de machshir ba lo machshir bebita. Against the Gemara that we had earlier. So the Gemara now analyzes this price of Maika Omaluhu, Maika Ma'adri Luhu. What did Rabbi Yeshua argue against Rabbi Gamliel, and what did they respond? After all, Rabbi Yeshua was talking about a Shvuya, and there we have the Rov Ovdikacham Prutim Barayas. What kind of argument did he have, or proof did he add from Shvuya to the case of Rabbi Gamliel? Hachi Komar, Heshavtanu Alamu Beres. So Rav Gamliel says to Rav Yeshua, you know what, you gave us a pretty good argument in the case of Muberes. I mean, that we can say is like Shvuya, because just like in Shvuya we assume she has Bia, so to Muberes we know she had Bia, but Matishi Venu Alam Daberes. What would you argue based on Shvuya in the case of Ra'ua Midaberes, which means they don't know that she had Be'ilah? That's certainly not comparable to the case of Shvuya. We have Rova Akum Prutzim Barayas, Omolehem Midaberes Haidu Shvuya. That both cases of Midaberes, where the Edom saw that she had Yichud with a man, and the case of Shvuya are analogous and they're equivalent. Omulah, Rav Gamliel turns, Rav Gamliel and Rav Yeshua turn to Rav Yeshua, and they say, there's no analogy, there's no comparison. Shaini Shvuya, the Rov Akum Prutim Baraya said. In other words, once the Goyim had Yichud with this woman, because she was taken captive, and they're alone with her, then it's absolutely clear that they can have beer with her. But in the case of Daberes, who says that since she had Yichud, therefore she's going to have beer? There's no proof whatsoever that she had Bia. She could say Lo Nivalti, and therefore let's believe her with a Migu that she could have said Lo Nivalti. Amalaham, Rabbi Yeshua responded, Hanami, there's no difference between the case of Shvuya, where we apply the Rov of Akum Prutzim Barayas, and the case of Midaberes. Why? Kevan Distater, since she was alone with a man, Ein Apotropos Harayas. We're not going to believe her that she didn't have Be'ila. No one's going to be able to withhold from Be'ir, overcome their Tivus and their Yetzer. And therefore she has no Migu. She couldn't have said Lo Nivalti. And this is all an explanation of the Braisa. But we see clearly from this Braisa, Ketoni Mias Tarti Medaberes Umu Beres. You see clearly in the dialogue that's recorded in this Braisa between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel that they certainly had a twofold argument, both in the case of Muberes, where Rabbi Gamliel backs off a little and he says that's comparable to the case of Shvuya, and in the case of Daberes, where Gamliel insists that you have no right to make that comparison. But it's crystal clear from this brisa that the machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua revolves around not only the case of Muberes, but also the case of Nistar, of Yichud, of Midaberes. And that completely undermines the approach of Rav Asi, who says that Rabbi Gamliel is talking at Midaberes in our Mishnah, the Machlok stream of Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua is about a case of Midaberes. And guess what? Tyuvta, the Rav Asi Tyuvta. This Braisa clearly sees and formulates and presents a machlokas not only in the case of Muberes, but also the case of Nistara, of Yichud. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua equates it with what? With Shvuya. Brings Shvuya as a proof to support his claim, because just like in Shvuya, you assume that she had Bia, so because Rov Akum Prutzim Barayas, so too in the case of Midaberes, she went into a private place, we have a Rov to assume she had Bia, says Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore it's clear and explicit in this Braisa that Rabbi Yeshua went as far as postulating a woman who had Yichud with a man for Kahuna. is Tiyuvta the Rav Asi Tiyuvta. Rav Asi is completely upshlugged. So there's a Shita Mekubetzis here that says, okay, Rav Asi is upshlugged, and therefore we have to paskin like Ze'iri, which means we paskin like Ze'iri. And therefore, Rav Yeshua went as far as to say that she's psula kuda, even though the Edom only testify on Yichud. So the Shita Mekubetzis says, is that relevant lalacha? We don't paskin like Rav Yeshua, we paskin like Rav Gamliel. So lechor, there's no nafkamina between lemaisa between Ze'iri and Rav Asi, since in any event we accept the Shita Rav Gamliel. So he says, but the Gemara, so the Shita says that later on Daf Yudalad, the Gemara is going to say that even though we paskin like Rav Gamliel, that's only b'di'evet. But lechatchilu, we have to be machmir like the Shita Rav Yeshua and tell the Kohanim they should avoid having a marriage relation with this woman who was together with a Jew. Oh, now we have to know that the halacha is like Ze'iri, that Rav Yeshua goes as far as to say that she's psula kahuna, even in a case of midaberes, even in a case of yichud. The Edom only saw yichud, and that's what it says explicitly in this brisa. Is tiyufta, the Rav Asi tiyufta, that means the only way we can understand the machlokes is the way Ze'iri understood the machlokes, that Rav Yeshua pasels a lakuna, even in the case of Ra'ua Shenistera. Ah, you'll ask me, who cares? We don't pass like Yeshua. The answer is, L'chadchila, we're machmir from Yeshua. How far do we have to go? The answer is, Rav Yeshua went very far, and that's where we accept the Shita of Ze'iri against Rav Asi, that Rav Yeshua went as far as to say that she's psul lakuna, even the case where the Edom only testify on Yichud, and if Aloch Lamaisa, we're going to tell the Kohanim to avoid having a marriage relation with this woman, Lechatchila, because she had a Yichud relationship with another man as an unwed woman, and we have to suspect that maybe she had a relationship with a Nasir, a Mamzer, a Goy, and so forth and so on. Ah, she claims that she had a relationship with a Kohen. We're not going to trust her, says Rabbi Yeshua. She already admits that she had Bia. And now you're going to tell me she had Bia by choosing her Boel very carefully to make sure that he had credentials. He had a Tudat Zut that said, I'm Kosher Lekuhuna. That far we're not going to go. We're not going to trust. So I just want to tell you guys that Lamaisa, a Kohen, has to be very careful about who he marries. And here's where we're going to stop, and we're going to daven Meir. And I want to thank everyone for joining.